Why do project management training and real life project management feel like they're worlds apart? Are you really truly using what you've learned, or are you just checking the box without actually really applying it to real life challenges? In today's episode, I will unpack the key differences between training and real life project management. Point number one, stakeholder engagement versus handling difficult personalities. See, training introduces family an engagement technique. It forces you to train in a safe environment and to create mock type engagement with stakeholders. But real life, stakeholders may be uncooperative, challenging, resistant. I can go on and on. And the key thing here is understanding, how am I going to leverage that training versus real world project management? Here's my actionable tip. Use data and logic to address concerns and remain calm. And please remain professional during the difficult conversations. You say, why do you say please? I say please because it can be challenging. We are human beings. And from time to time, when someone crosses that line, our first reaction may want to tell them and give them I'm sorry, that may be just me. But let's be honest though, family, have you ever had a difficult conversation? If you lead with emotions instead of leading with logic, you always are the one that is going above and beyond of what the conversation could have really had if we would have had a logic conversation saying, hey, let's put the emotions aside. What is your issue with me? And let me explain my issue and let's figure out what a common ground is. If we cannot achieve that, then maybe we need to look at alternative options, that maybe we don't need to be on this team together, or I need to move to another project as a project manager. Point number two, certifications versus experience. Message, anytime I say message, this is something you want to tune into. You want to pay attention. If you're driving, please keep both hands on the wheels at all time. But please replay back this particular part here. See, training highlights the importance of certification, but experience is crucial in the real world of success. One of the things that I'm always nervous about when someone says, hey, what certification should I go after next? And I'm like, how about you take what you just learned and apply it in the real world as far as testing out some of the information the time you spent learning some of these frameworks and learning some of these methodologies and learning how to deal with certain people, see what works in that particular environment, and then put away everything that doesn't work and know that you could come back to it. Because what can happen is, this is what happened to me. If you don't mind, I'd love to tell you a quick short story. I fell into the gap, or I should say, I fell into the pothole of collecting certifications without real world impact. You're like, what do you mean, AD? See, what I was doing was I got so excited about this thing that I hope you fall in love with, that I fell in love with, called project management. And so once I got my CAPM, I was like, what else certification I should go with? I want to get this certification, that certification. And it took, again, power of mentorship, took a mentor saying, hey, that's great you're going after these certifications, degrees, and everything. Because let me tell you what I did, family. Not only went after the CAPM, I was also going after my master's as well in project management. And but my mentor said something that was impactful and that it really empowered me. It was like, this is great that you're doing that. You are definitely building a toolbox as a project manager. But my question is, from that training, what is one thing that you've used already? And I couldn't answer the question. And so I had to go back to my CAPM training, and I was like, oh, this piece and that piece. And I was like, the whole purpose of my mentor asking me that question was to say, I don't want you to get so caught up in the certification collecting without collecting the certification and taking what you've learned from the certification and applying it to your real world and project management. And that just took me. And so, family, I share that with you because what I want for you is always the best. And what I mean by that is saying that I want you to learn from my mistakes. And it wasn't until, again, like I said, going to my mentor and say, hey, I'm collecting all these certifications. And he was like, stop. So if you are going after a particular certification and you have not taken the time to take that information and apply it to the real world, take some time to apply it to the real world. Because again, when future, or I should say not even future, but when hiring managers are looking at your application, yes, they're looking for certification, but they're also looking for that accompanying experience as well, because that experience is going to not only say, okay, yes, they can do the job, but also when you have the certification is, oh, not only can they do the job, they can take on something and learn it and then bring it back and apply it into their actual real world of with the projects that they're leading. Here's my actionable tip. For those individuals out there that's, because I know it's coming, ED, I don't have any experience and I don't know where to go get any experience. This is for you. Here's my actionable tip. Pursue hands-on opportunity like volunteering for small projects. See, family, if you want to just look at a volunteering project, if you went on Blue Cross, like I did a whole episode on this one day because I know the importance of at least getting in and leading projects so you can really understand what the difference is. And I know I'm spending a long time here on the certification versus experience, but it's important because a lot of people won't share this with, matter of fact, majority of people won't say this. They'll say, yeah, go get your PMP. And you're like, okay, yeah, you have to have 3 years of experience in order to get your PMP as far as work-related. But the thing about it is that in that 3 years, yes, you've learned a lot, but if you're not taking what you're learning from the PMP and applying it, the PMP really doesn't mean anything because all you did was just go get a certification. You didn't apply the certification. So I don't want you to fall into that pothole that I fell into temporarily until I got my wake-up call where it was like, hey, go get the certification. I'm all about certification and life learning. But stop doing this as far as getting in with, now it's getting real good to me. And that what they call a learning loop. All you're doing is learning and you're not actually applying what you learn. So again, pursue, if you're new to project management, let's say you took a basic project management class and you was like, or course, and you said, hey, I want to get into project management. Or let's say you got your CAPM, your PMP, even if you got your ACP. You should be taking these certification lessons from the trainer that you learn from and applying it to real world project management. Point number three, textbook process versus organizational politics. See, family, one thing you have to understand, training focuses on the ideal processes and procedures that should be in place. But real world project may involve navigating organizational politics. What does that look like and what does that mean? You may have to, I gave you guys an example before of a previous manager I worked for that said, when you send out an email, you have to, when you're putting any body, a director above, higher director above in the email correspondent as a CC, you need to rank them from highest authority to lowest authority. And I was like, what? I just want to send an email. So that's the organization. That's an example of organizational politics. And you have to understand it. This is how they do things here. You need to align with it. Here's my actionable tip. Build alliances with key influencers and stay neutral and maintain this keyword trust across all teams. Point number four, theory of motivation versus EI, or what we call emotional intelligence. See, training outlines the motivation theories, but real world, motivation requires emotional intelligence to address individual needs. See, when you're learning about, okay, how do I excite my team, and you're reading about it, and if you don't take what you read, learned, and apply it to real world, this is why emotional intelligence is going to be important, because if you see two individuals having a conflict, when do you know when to step in and when do you know when to step back and allow it to happen or not to happen? And sometimes that's going to require you going through the experience so you can get a sense and you start learning even more. So again, I don't want to persuade you, or I should say, make you feel that you can't get into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. But I want you to be cognizant and aware of how it's important to you to leverage emotional intelligence. Yes, reading the theories are good, but what are we talking about? Applying the theories of what you learn. Here's my actionable tip. Practice empathy by observing and responding to verbal and nonverbal cues from your team. Point number five, I'll always get this question. Tools proficiency versus people-centric leadership. sometimes I, and again, I'm sharing things with that I received, and most of it is really me, that I've been guilty of. I got guilty of, okay, what tool should I be focusing on? Microsoft Project, Smartsheets, Asana, Monday.com, ClickUp. And it was like, that's what training emphasizes on mastering project management tools. And I'm like, no, that just doesn't sound right. And this is how I found out again, because success really often hinges on your leadership and your ability to break up the silos and create more team collaboration. This is what I talk about in the Magnetic Project Manager. If you haven't picked up your copy, please pick up a copy. Hey, pick up 10 for all I care, just to support the episode that we're putting out. But it's important though, family, because of the fact that we talk about some of these things in here in this book. So my actionable tip to you is focus on building rapport with your team and empowering them alongside mastering tools. See, it's one thing I love this episode today. It's one thing to get involved and try to learn as many tools as you can. But what happens if, let's say you are you're a project manager, because I was thinking like a consultant, but I'll take the project management role. Let's say you're the project manager and you just got into this new organization. You've been with the organization for 2 years. That organization used Microsoft Project. They seen you on LinkedIn. They knew you were a project manager, meaning another organization seen you and reached out, or someone referred you because of how well you did at the organization you were currently at. They reach out and say, hey, we want you to come work over at our organization. You get over there. And they use Smartsheets and Asana. So it's not about mastering the project management tools. It's more about focusing on the leadership, the team collaboration, or what people are really calling soft skill. So again, the ability to build rapport with your team and then empowering them along the way. Point number 6, understanding versus application. Listen, training, as much as I love it, provides a theory understanding of methodologies, while real life requires applying them to unpredictable scenarios. You're going to have unpredictable scenarios that you're going to be a part of as you're leading project. You can plan, over plan, double plan. It won't matter, because you wouldn't have caught these particular scenarios. Here's my actionable tip. After learning a concept, simulate its application through case studies or small project. What this allows you to do, it allows you to bridge the gap between theory as well as practice. Point number 7, clear communication models versus diverse stakeholder management. Training offers a structured template for communication, but real-world stakeholders may have unique preferences and style. If this is not the truth, I couldn't tell you anything different. Reason why I say that stakeholders may have unique preferences, there's been stakeholders I work with where they want all of their communication through Asana or a Teams type platform, where there's others like, I need all my communication through email. Matter of fact, I have another set where I say, don't even email me, talk to me first, because I get so many emails, and then you can email me afterwards if you want to as a reminder. So having that ability you don't know that when you're coming in, and you have to pick up on these things, meaning you may be sending multiple emails and you're like, why is this person not responding? And then you send one message in Asana or one message in Teams and they're all over you. What is going on? But again, you have to find their unique preferences. I know what you're thinking. That's not fair. Why can't we just send an email just like everybody else? That's what the average project managers do. But if you're listening, we can tell you are definitely an exceptional project manager. Here's my actionable tip. Customize your communication style by actively listening and understanding each stakeholder's specific need. Point number 8, control scenarios versus the uncertain. Again, control scenario versus the uncertain. Training operates in predictable environments. With real-world project management, you're going to face constant changes. You're going to get incomplete data. You're going to get incomplete teams. You're going to have to deal with certain situations that you thought that you planned well in advance, like you had a backup to the backup, and then next thing you know, there was a change in the organization and they shifted. So here's my actionable tip. Embrace the adaptability by conducting scenario planning and practicing decision-making under certain conditions. Having the ability, family, to make decisions, even though you may not have 100% of the information, let's say you have 90 or 80%, and you've done all of the research that you potentially can do, you're going to have to make that decision and live with the decision. But even though you make that decision, having the ability to course correct or pivot wherever is required. Here's my bonus for today, family. I'll let you be on your way. Define leadership roles versus informal influence. See, training outlines formal leadership authority, but real world project management, influence often relies on personal credibility. One of the things as a project manager, you have to maintain and sustain your credibility. You have to always be upfront. You have to be able to maneuver in an organization built on truth and honesty. And most of all, being transparent. If anything, just be transparent. Hey, if they say, are we going to make this date? No, but let me show you what we're doing. Actionable tip, lead by example and demonstrate competence to gain the respect and trust of your team. Here's my three transformational remarks. And again, family, I truly appreciate you staying behind. The whole importance of today's episode was to show you the training versus real world. And I unpacked that in a way so you could see it. For instance, certification versus experience. Again, I'm huge on getting certifications because it gives you an opportunity to obtain new information that hopefully you are taking and applying once you learn. Here's one of the suggestions, or I should say actionable tip that I gave. Pursue hands-on opportunities like volunteering for small projects to complement your certification. Anytime you get a certification, you should be looking at ways to how you can apply that. I don't care if that's in your personal life or your professional life. Find ways that you can apply it. Number two, stakeholder engagement versus handling difficult personalities. One of the things I always recommend is building that one-on-one. And if you have a huge stakeholder team or a huge project team, I understand there's going to be some challenges there. So you may have to do the actual team, meaning if you're working with the application team, maybe you just do that application team one week or one day, however that looks like to you. But it's important to create those bonds. Number three, tools, proficiency, versus people-centric leadership. All of the project management tools are extremely important. Do not get it twisted. They allow us to have more automation. It allows us to not have to get caught up in the mundane task, but we have to understand the reason why we're there is our ability to focus on building rapport with our team and empowering them as we're empowering our team. We should be working on mastering those tools and learning them to be efficient enough that, just like I gave in the example about what happens if another organization calls you and they're using Smartsheets versus the organization you just left from, which they were using Microsoft Project. So have the ability to really lock in and learn people, building rapport with people. This is why one of the things I want to do for you guys is I'm going to be bringing out some of my favorite books that I've actually used and not just read just to read, but took some of the information and actually apply it. For instance, one of my favorite books out there is Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Never Split the Difference is Chris Voss was a FBI negotiator. I'm like, what do we do a lot? We have to negotiate with people, try to talk people that do not report it to us. And sometimes these are executives that we're trying to convince to get resources. How can you sell them on, we need those resources for our projects? I don't know about the other person, but we're talking about this one. How can you do that? So be on the lookout for that, family. We have so much coming. I know you guys have been patiently waiting and I appreciate that, but I want to create an experience for you. So again, don't get so caught up in the tools. Be more focused on the people while you're at the same time learning the tools, but pour more energy into the people because the tools are going to consistently change. And depending on if you jump from different organization to different organization. With that being the case, family, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. And again, I'm all about learning. I have the certifications, the different degrees to prove it. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you is I don't want you to go down that same rabbit hole of learning, 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 or as I talked about, the learning loop and not getting off the learning loop and applying what you've learned, meaning you should go into the learning loop and then go into the applying loop or execution loop, as we could say. Again, family, I go by the name ED. For all you smarter and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.